Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence. This is The Chaser Report.
Welcome to another Summer Stunt Series episode of The Chaser Report, where we sit down with some of the team and talk about the old days and the stunts and the adventures that we had. Charles Firth is here. I'm Dom Knight. And Andrew Hansen is with us once again. And
hello.
Andrew, in a previous episode, just to give a bit of a cliffhanger, you mentioned that you actually, you know, drank a bit performing some of these characters of yours.
Well, yeah, doing those pranks on Chaser TV shows, because I hated doing them, because I really don't like upsetting people, or, you know, and I was also very nervous about the fact that it was an uncontrolled environment, because it wasn't a shoot like a normal film shoot. You have some, you know, you've got a lot of control over the lighting and the camera angles, where you stand and all that sort of stuff. Whereas when you shoot a prank, yeah, all you've got really is a script and some ideas and maybe a funny prop or an amusing costume.
And also the near certainty that somebody's going to get really angry at you at some point in the
Plus that, yes. Which I didn't like that. Yeah, and yeah. I didn't like the idea that, you know, I might be facing in the wrong direction, or that they wouldn't get the shot.
Yeah.
And you would have wasted this whole opportunity, you know. It was very nerve-wracking. Don't do it.
We had to shoot a huge amount in any given week, even just to make sure that there was enough show to go around. So we'll get into that in a moment here on The Chaser Report.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Chaser Report. News a few days after it happens.
Yeah, the pressure to not fuck up a shot was extreme, wasn't it? Because
it's terrible.
Having to make so many, what, 20 episodes we made in the first year. I think the first 2 years.
Too many episodes. It was insane. It was the sort of show that should have had 6 episodes, and it had 26 in the first year.
Because was it 26? They put it in the fat slot.
Yes.
And the fat was a panel show of people talking about sport. And we made this massively higher production value series.
Yeah, with sketches and songs and pranks and everything. It was bonkers. We worked far too hard, which is why we all refused to do this American version of it.
You mentioned that before in the series. It was we were saying with Chaz that it was actually the level of kind of police going crazy and guns everywhere would have probably made it quite a dicey thing to do.
Oh, yeah, it would have been very risky in the US. Yeah, terrible. And we were already exhausted from doing it in Australia. And the US deal was something like, you have to do it for 6 years. And we all just thought, people's faces just went pale.
And the agents went, oh, you can just walk away after a 2 or a 3. It's fine. And we just kind of went, no, but it says 6. We're not gonna sign it. They can make us.
Yeah, yeah. That would have been horrible. Oh, dear.
But also, you would have had to have dealt with your alcoholism problem.
Well, I would have had to deal with my booze. Yeah, because I got so nervous about going to shoot these pranks at the start of this that I would down drinks before I went out to shoot.
So
thinking,
what did you drink? What was it?
Well, beer, just whatever, because it was cheap and
really?
Nearby. So I'd go and have these beers at like, you know, 9 a.m.,
And was this on the advice of Fitzy at all? Was he around? Because Fitzy always said to me, oh, you should just have a little shot of whiskey.
A little looser.
For you.
This is the studio director we worked with.
You mean our studio director, Mark Fitzgerald?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he was probably joking. I don't think he would have been serious, would he?
Oh, no, I think he was deadly. I never followed that advice, but he was a big believer in the cheeky whiskey at 9 a.m.
Really? A settler?
A settler, yeah.
Just to calm the nerves.
Yeah, when it stunts, because, you know, like, you actually do perform better if you're relaxed.
You either need
to have some alcohol or have an ego so large that you have a sort of Craig Rucastle-style assurance that everything
will
be fine.
It was terrifying, wasn't it? But it's definitely true that the fear of not getting it was so powerful.
Yeah, the fear of not getting it. That's why I had to drown that fear with a beer.
The rare times I was allowed to do it, I just remember being absolutely terrified of fucking up.
Oh, yes, awful.
And, but Andrew, you're not even a big drinker. Like,
I'm, no, I'm not a big drinker, so I'd be roaring. By this. No, that's right. Because so the first few that I did, I was roaring drunk. I mean, you know, just appalling. It's amazing I could get the script out. And I realized pretty quickly after maybe 2 weeks of doing this that I was headed in a very bad direction, because we were shooting at least 5 days a week, if not more. And we also had to write and produce and everything else. So I couldn't keep it up. I had to train myself to just deal with the terror.
Well, let's hear one of your more challenging characters, because Mr. 10 Questions tended to go to fairly high profile events. You weren't just hassling McDonald's workers and random passers by. You were actually dealing with celebrities generally.
I had this idea for this reporter who would just go and ask a rapid series of 10 questions, because a lot of people do that, don't they?
It's so annoying.
Audiences. Q&A sessions. There's always somebody who says, I actually have 2 questions. And, you know, it's like, no, don't you cheat. Don't ask 2. And I thought it would be funny if there was a man who always asked 10 and just really far. And then you'd get the additional sort of bafflement from whoever you'd just asked 10 questions in a row to without a pause, of them trying to recall what the 10 questions were.
just sort of going outside social politeness, and there's no way you can answer it without it being funny, even if people answer all 10 questions, which actually happened, I think, on at least one occasion.
Well, it happened only once ever. But everyone else failed, and these quite high-profile people, you know, couldn't do it. Like Hugh Jackman, I asked him 10 questions, he couldn't do it. Charlize Theron just walked away halfway through them. Peter Carey, he failed. He's a brilliant author. He couldn't answer the 10 questions.
Could have kept all the narrative strands in his head, surely.
You would have thought so. You would have thought so. The only one, people used to take it in fairly good humour, that one, except for once when Sophia Loren, the Italian, you know, movie star, was giving this press conference, and I went there and asked her 10 questions, and she seemed fine about it, but man, the room of Italians, they were furious, because what I didn't realise is that to Italians, Sophia Loren is more holy than the Pope. You can't sort of make fun of her. Not that it really was. It was more just silly
just a prop,
idea.
Weren't
they? Yeah, it was supposed to just be a silly idea. But I always remember walking out after doing that. One old Italian lady hissed at me like this. And another old Italian lady, because they were all old, another old Italian lady looked at me and said, "You are disgusting," like in a really angry tone.
Probably because she'd just asked one question earlier and she'd thought of asking more.
She was jealous that you asked 10.
No wonder I had to drink to get through these experiences. Man.
Is that the clip you've got, Andrew? Is that Sophia Loren?
No, the one I have is the one and only time where the celebrity actually managed to answer all 10 of the questions. And he's the actor Anthony LaPaglia, who recently won an actor award, actually. And I was quite astounded that he managed to recall all 10 of the questions and answer them.
Does anybody have any questions?
I do. Anthony, yes. If I could just ask you 10 questions. First, are you having a nice day?
Only 10.
Second, have you ever met that other Anthony LaPaglia with the Australian accent? Third, why is it called Without a Trace when all you do is find traces and follow them? Fourth, speaking of which, have you tracked down Harold Holt yet? Fifth, did you or anyone who worked on Lantana actually understand the plot? And sixth, why the fuck was Glenn Robbins in that movie? Seventh, you're a bit Italian. Is it calzone or calzone? Eight, uniform daylight saving hours. Will they bring down our society? Ninth, do you feel the HP iPac RW6828 multimedia messenger could sway the smartphone market? And tenth, given your surname, do you think Australia should have a silent G in it as well?
The last question, yes. I think it should have 2 silent Gs, the first one at the beginning. The ninth question, there is a strong possibility that it actually could overtake that market. It depends on where you're from, but calzone will do.
So you found Harold Holt.
Harold Holt, we're looking. The plot of Lantana, you're going to have to call Ray Lawrence. He'll give you the answers to all of that. He directed the film. Glenn Robbins was fantastic in Lantana.
Daylight saving hours?
I think there's some more to do with bringing down the productivity of cows in terms of producing milk.
Having a nice day.
Fantastic.
And the other Anthony LaPaglia with the Australian accent.
Oh, he left in 1982.
Is that right? Without a trace?
Yes.
Well, he needed some prompts, didn't he? I mean, he didn't quite remember it all.
Nevertheless,
you know, mission accomplished. At least he got close.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Chaser Report. News you can't trust.
It's nice that on one occasion, and only one occasion, Mr. 10 Questions actually got the 10 question that's answered.
Yeah, it was the only time. I know, we kind of needed one where it finally happened. And yeah, so even though I had to prompt it, I was impressed though when he said, in answer to your ninth question. I mean, that is impressive. Prompts aside, I mean, what is with this guy's mind? Man.
It really dates it beautifully, the HP Messenger smartphone with the model number.
I know. Yes, our phones used to be called things like that instead of, you know, iPhone.
It reminds me of that wonderful sketch that the two of you largely started in the radio show, where you had, Charles had a specific model of, was it dishwasher?
Yes. Oh, yes. One of my favourite sketches that Charles wrote. Mm.
If you go to a streaming service and check out the Radio Chaser album, you can...
We should play it now. Why don't we
play it now? Okay, here it is.
We're allowed to play it.
Oh, well, there he is. This is buying a dishwasher. Charles's sketch.
Hi, I'd like to buy a dishwasher, please.
Certainly, sir. Were you after an SMU46GS01A or were you more thinking of an SMU66MS02A or perhaps even an SMP66MX01A?
Well, what's the difference?
What do you mean?
What's the difference between those dishwashers?
You're kidding, right?
No.
Well, the SMU66MS02A has an AquaSensor SuperSilence Eco Drive, while the SMP66MX01A has an AquaSilence Eco Sensor SuperDrive. It's really quite simple.
So which one's better?
Well, depends what you're after. I mean, are you more of a AquaSilence Eco Sensor SuperDrive kind of person or an AquaSensor SuperSilence Eco Drive type person? That's personal preference.
So which one cleans better?
Well, the SMU66MS02A has ion energy cleaning pressurizer, while the SMP66MX01A uses inductive thermocleanse technology.
Yeah, but which machine results in cleaner dishes?
Depends.
On what?
On which one you're using.
Look, I'll just buy this one.
The SMU66MS02A? All right.
Hey, Gary. Got a customer here who wants the SMU66MS02A.
You're kidding.
I'm serious. He's right here.
I'm sorry. Is there something wrong with it?
Oh, no, no. No, not at all. No, it's fine. Yeah, that'll be $1,200, please.
Are you sure it's all right?
It's fine.
Darling, did you get a dishwasher?
Yeah, I went with this one.
You bought an SMU66MS02A? How could you?
What?
I'm sorry. I put up with it when you bought a VDE45W vented tumble dryer. And I didn't say anything when you came home with that HBG672BS1A oven. But an SMU66MS02A? Goodbye, Charles.
But I still don't understand the difference.
You never did, Charles. You never did.
Here you go, the SMU66MS02A.
I told him it was fine.
There you go. So specific model numbers, always funny.
The funny thing about that sketch is that I cast you in that sketch, Andrew, because I knew I had no ability to speak that fast with those model numbers. Like, I would just fluff it every time. Whereas you, I think you did like one take on that sketch and you got it perfect.
I relish complicated model numbers. I spent my childhood practicing them.
I just renovated my kitchen and we were laughing so hard. We played that sketch after trying to buy a stovetop. Because we bought the 604 UMB 13 or something like that. Yeah. And it was true, like the salespeople said, but that doesn't even work. Or, you know, and it's like, you should have got the 604 UMB 13, you know. Like,
It works for, what I love about that is it works for almost any appliance because they all have that this way. Like if it's a washing machine or whatever it is.
What about Clive, Andrew? Clive the slightly too loud commuter, because that was just another one of being, you know, breaking the social contract of how we behave in public places on a train.
Yeah, yeah. A guy who speaks too loudly on his mobile on a train. Well, that was a brilliant idea that Chris Taylor had most of the brilliant ideas, I feel, on the Chaser's War. And yeah, he just noticed that, you know, people talk on phones on public transport.
So he didn't have a mobile too, which is probably key to the observation.
But yeah,
for a very long time, one of the last people to get one.
Yeah, Chris was probably wondering, what is that peculiar device that he's talking into? And unfortunately, I got cast to play this guy. I suffered greatly doing that, because we had to shoot that on crowded trains, and I was usually talking about very personal, you know, sexual problems. I mean, he had one conversation where he'd caught herpes of the elbow, and he was wondering if it was because he accidentally, while making love to his wife, accidentally elbowed her in the vagina. And, you know, having to say these things on crowded trains is very upsetting to me. And having to say it not just once, because, I mean, the audience think, oh, that's awkward. Oh, gee, that must have been awkward to say that. But, of course, you know, they forget that for every one you see, I had to try that about 15 times for Clive. Because they were really hard to shoot, you know, you had to get the reactions of the passengers.
Yeah, did they ever do nothing?
A lot of people, out of politeness, because people are politeness, and when a crazy man is talking on the train, you usually just sit there frozen solid, don't you?
And this was before the days when the kind of racist rant videos started to go viral.
It kind of was, really wasn't it? It actually was.
You sort of kicked off the racist rant videos.
I like to think that's my legacy. Yeah. Yes, that I inspired a whole generation of racists to do it themselves.
Did you ever get stabbed? Because I reckon...
Yeah, I think you would have known about that.
There was always a non-trivial risk of something like that. But the thing people never realise, because it looks like you're just doing this thing alone in a train and it's terribly brave, but there's actually two or three people with you filming it and, you know, signing things and whatever.
All people who can also be stabbed, Dom.
This is true. Some of these things, I mean, Chaz was saying... Things got very physically hairy. He had a knife held to his neck. So somehow it seems very Chaz for that to have happened to him.
Of course that would happen to him. That didn't happen to anybody else, and I blame him for that.
And remember, the guy did actually say, I know who you are, and I'm going to kill you, Chaz.
and it was one of his family.
Yeah. if it had been Andrew, it would have been like, oh, hello, pleased to meet you. Let me just put down my knife.
I've got 10 questions for you. Because people did it to you, didn't they, Andrew, for years?
They did, yes. I was always getting asked 10 questions by people, back then.
And did you pretend that it was funny every single time?
I dutifully it actually was. They were actually often better than my own. They were brilliant. Some of the fans who would come and ask me 10 questions, they were superbly written and performed. And I used to think, gosh, you should just be on the show.
Did anything ever go horribly wrong doing these sorts of characters? I mean, the Rosafella End thing was awkward, but I remember you were fairly unscathed.
To me, awkwardness is horribly wrong, Dom. That's to me. No. But I don't think anything did go horribly wrong. This is one of the great illusions of the show, is people thought it was very edgy and dangerous, but it was actually really quite safe.
So, thank you very much, Andrew.
Well, thank you, Dommy and Charles.
This is lovely.
Our gears from Rode Microphones. We're part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll have another episode for you tomorrow, looking back on the old days when we could do stunts without getting videoed and or sued and or stabbed.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.